This Week in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, featuring New Heart, New Spirit, with Father Don Hying, Rector of St. Francis de Sales Seminary.
Brought to you this week by Senglob Financial Group, reminding you to support pro-life causes.
And now, Father Don Hying.
Good morning. Welcome to New Heart, New Spirit, your connection to life at St. Francis de Sales Seminary. I'm Father Don Hying, and I am the host of the show. The show is airing every Friday morning at 9:30. One week it's the Archbishop, and one week it's me. And we bring great guests on the show and just talk about things that are of interest to you and of interest to life in our local church of the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. As you probably know, we currently have 35 men in priestly formation studying for the Archdiocese, some from your own backyard and some from other countries. Today, we're blessed to have two of our seminarians who will be rapidly approaching priesthood. One is Enrique Hernandez, who was born in Colombia and discerned his call not only to the priesthood, but to priesthood in the Archdiocese. The other is Brad Krofczyk, who you can tell by his name is homegrown from the south side of Milwaukee. And both Brad and Enrique are in their third year of theology and are anticipating ordination in 2012. So welcome, Enrique and Brad. Thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you, Father Don.
It's great to have you. As we look at the program of priestly formation, there's something that comes up, and it's usually somewhere in the middle of third year, and it's called candidacy. And the two of you will be declaring your candidacy this December. And what's that about? What do you think that is?
For me, Father Don, it's an opportunity to publicly declare that I am seeking ordination to the priesthood. And so for me, it's the opportunity to not only let everyone know that in a public way, but also then to receive the support of the church as a result of their affirmation in my candidacy towards priesthood.
And Enrique, it's a very simple ceremony. You just stand up, and at some point after the homily, you declare before the bishop that you know, you're a candidate, that you want to be ordained a priest. Yeah. Could you tell us a little bit about what led you not only to the conviction of being called to the priesthood, but of being called to the priesthood here in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee? I'm sure growing up in Colombia, never had heard of Milwaukee. And here you are today in another country, another language, another place, studying and preparing to give your life to this local church. How did that happen?
It is very interesting. When I was studying to the priesthood in Colombia, and I always, since I was a little child, I wanted to be a priest. But my thinking was always outside my own city sometimes, because I love to travel. But I never had the idea to travel to a different country. So I decided to enter the seminary outside from my own diocese and to see what's going to work in a different environment from my own culture of my own city. And the former vocation director, Father Baptist Father, he used to go to Colombia and invite some of the seminarians from that particular seminary, Cristo Sacerdote, to come to America and to learn the language first and later to decide if they wanted to stay or not. And that's how I came.
You were very young when you came to Milwaukee. How old were you?
Almost 21.
Okay.
5 days before I was turning 21.
And did you know English at all when you arrived?
Not at all, no. Wow. No, and I studied my English in UWM, which was really, really difficult because I studied some philosophy before in Colombia, and you learn how to speak a little better through philosophy. But when I came to America, I found myself not able to speak anything at all.
It's an overwhelming experience.
Yes, it was.
You've come a long way. That's great. Yeah. I've been blessed to visit Cristo Sacerdote, and as you know, it's right next door to another seminary. And between those two seminaries, there have to be, what, 400, 500 seminarians?
Yeah.
This is impossible for Americans to comprehend, but there's so many vocations, so many seminarians in Colombia that some of them cannot find a diocese, right? Because there's too many of them. So some go to other countries simply because of the surplus. But you know, you established a relationship with our vocations director, mm-hmm. came up here, and the rest is history, as we say. You've persevered through many long years of formation.
Oh, yeah.
And here you are declaring your candidacy. Brad, how about you? You were born in Milwaukee. You're obviously homegrown. You came to the priesthood a little later, but what was your path?
Well, you're right. I did grow up on the south side of Milwaukee, a proud south sider. And priesthood was something that was always sort of in the backdrop of my life. I had thought about it many times. I think my first experience of thinking about priesthood was when I was 7 years old. I was at midnight mass in my parish, and there was just something that I had to be a part of in a more sincere, deeper way, seeing the priest and what the priest was doing, being a part of that community, and worshiping together. There's something I had to really be I wanted to be a part of that in a more sincere way. As time went on, I thought about it again in high school, and then that didn't quite work out for a number of reasons. Thought about it again when I was in college, but it wasn't until after college, a couple of years out while I was working, after my father had died, I really sincerely thought again about what am I doing with my life? Because as we were cleaning out the house and, I don't know, going through and seeing the collections of balls of twine and old baseball hats and broken lawn tools, I'm like, what am I doing? What am I collecting? And I started to think about what am I storing up for my mansion in heaven? Now, not necessarily that decision would lead everyone to consider priesthood, but I felt that God was calling me to consider priesthood as a path towards holiness. And that's what led me to having that conversation with the vocations director and then taking the next step into the discernment process as part of St. Francis de Sales Seminary Formation Program.
And you had worked. You had actually managed a business, right? You had
I managed some people. Yes, right. I did manage the whole business, but certainly portions mm-hmm. of it. I was involved in sales and marketing, mm-hmm. And even before that, I was working in our production facility mm-hmm. as a manager, and at one point even an hourly employee when I was first out of college. So I really had an opportunity to learn some things about myself and learn some things about business and really, I think, in some ways grow to be hopefully someday a better pastor than I would have been probably without that experience.
Yeah, all those experiences really help us to become effective pastors in terms of managing people and communicating and being with people. Now, candidacy is like the announcement of an engagement. It's the announcement of your engagement to the church, moving towards ordination. And this coming April, both of you, God willing, will be ordained transitional deacons. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. When you think of the diaconate, what excites you about that? What can deacons do that's different than someone that hasn't entered into holy orders yet? It's obviously not priesthood or being a bishop, but what's really the key, what's the essence to diaconate?
I will say, and we are going to talk a little more in detail later on, but I was doing my internship in Beaverdam as a seminarian, and not being a deacon is kind of not the opportunity to do a lot of stuff with the people and for the people. One of the things that you cannot do is preaching on Sundays or even do some baptisms or witnessing some weddings because you're not an ordained minister. And I think those particular sacraments are very important for the church, and that's one of the things that excites me the more about, to bring those sacraments to the people.
To preach the gospel, to baptize, to witness marriages, those are all wonderful experiences. How about you, Brad? What excites you, what animates you about entering into the diaconate?
Well, there's two things that come to mind that I think are the overwhelming symbols of what you do as a deacon. One is you read the gospel at Mass. And number two, you are of service at the altar. And I think both of those things, both of those symbolic actions and actually literal actions in the liturgy itself really speak to the two dimensions of the diaconate that I'm perhaps most looking forward to and is, on the other side, really concerned that I'm going to do the best that I can do to engage it all that I can. In terms of reading the gospel, that also means taking that word into my heart and living that out. I think with the gift, the grace of holy orders, this doesn't happen automatically, but rather it's a charge for me to go ahead and make this who I am and everything that I'm about. So that becoming one with the word, so that the word is so much a part of who I am that I just live it. I don't even have to say it. I think the second thing in terms of service at the altar is just very much symbolic of the service that a deacon does in general. The idea of what am I doing to bring about a just world and a just society? And that, you know, plays its way, makes its way into many different ways or in many different capacities throughout the archdiocese. But for me, it's what am I going to do to make sure that I'm bringing about the kingdom today and making that a sincere part of who I am. Now, taking both the word that has sort of made its way into my heart and into my life, which I've been trying to do through my entire Christian life, taking that word and then also taking that sense of service in with me in sort of essentially a practice year, if you will, of before priesthood so that it may be something even stronger and more firmly embedded in my service as a priest for the people of the Archdiocese of Milwaukee.
We know that the origins of the diaconate, you know, come in the Acts of the Apostles, when the apostles ordained deacons to essentially serve the widows, serve the needy within the Christian community. So diaconate is all about service, and rightfully so. It's that building block for the other two orders within the sacrament of order, namely priesthood and being a bishop. And I think it's telling that many bishops, when they preside as bishops, especially when they ordain men to the priesthood or the diaconate, will wear the dalmatic underneath their other vestments, just to remind themselves that they were deacons before they were priests, and they were deacons before they were bishops. So that radical sense of service is really the foundation for the Christian life and the sacrament of holy orders. Yeah, it's going to be wonderful when you're deacons and as you move towards the priesthood. Enrique and Brad are part of a large class that anticipates ordination in 2012. They are two of eight that we hope to ordain that year. That will represent the largest class, I believe, since my class in 1989 when we ordained 13. So that will be an amazing event to see eight men give Shebna to Jesus Christ in ordination in 2012. You're listening to New Heart, New Spirit, your connection to life at St. Francis de Sales Seminary, and we're having a great conversation with Enrique and Brad, two of our third-year theologians. We'll be taking a short break, and we'll be right back.
Did you know we have a few Marian treasures right here in the Milwaukee area? Why not visit the beautiful and scenic Marian Shrine of the Milwaukee Archdiocese, located at 141 North 68th Street, or the Basilica of the National Shrine of Mary, Help of Christians, at Holy Hill? These scenic shrines offer a perfect place to relax, reflect, and pray. Brought to you by Senglob Financial for all your financial needs at 262-646-4466. Securities and advisory services offered through Harbor Investments Incorporated.
Honey, what do you want for Christmas this year?
Oh, I don't know. What do you want?
Guess I should have thought about it before now. But I was so focused on everyone else that I'm at a loss for suggestions.
Yeah, me too. Didn't we have this conversation last year?
I don't even remember what she gave me last year.
What did he give me last Christmas?
What's right around the corner and would make a memorable Christmas gift this year? For her? A ticket to the Women of Christ Conference, January 29th, featuring Father Larry Richards and Immaculate Ilibagiza. For him, a ticket to the Men of Christ Conference, February 19th, featuring Deacon Harold Burke Sivers and convert John Pridmore. Archbishop Jerome Listecki will celebrate Mass at both events. The ideal Christmas gift for her and for him, filled with faith and love. Details at relevantradiomilwaukee.com, keyword conference.
I hope she doesn't get me another tie. Senglob Financial Group of Delafield encourages you to support Milwaukee's needy children this Christmas by donating new or gently used toys. This special toy drive will benefit children supported by Repairers of the Breach and women's shelters throughout the Milwaukee area. Repairers of the Breach is Greater Milwaukee's Christian homeless shelter located on Valeet Street. It is the area's only homeless shelter and resource center that is open during daytime hours. Collection will begin on Friday, November 28th and will end on Monday, December 20th. Collection locations for the toys will be the Marion Center in Wauwatosa, Catholic Books and Gifts in West Allis, Cedar Creek Winery in Cedarburg, and the office of Senglob Financial Group in Delafield. Toys needed for ages infant through adolescent and should be unwrapped. Questions? Call Joe Senglob at 262-442-7888. That's 262-442-7888. This message brought to you by Senglob Financial Group of Delafield. Securities and advisory services offered through Harbor Investments, Inc. Member SIPC.
New heart, new spirit on Relevant Radio. Once again, Father Don Hyatt.
Welcome back to New Heart, New Spirit, your connection to life at St. Francis de Sales Seminary. I'm Father Don Hying, the rector at our seminary, and we're talking to Brad Krawczyk and Enrique Hernandez, two of our third-year theologians who are declaring candidacy this month, their public commitment, their engagement to the priesthood, and that's in anticipation of their ordination to the diaconate this coming April. So please keep them in your prayers. And we've been talking about, you know, what it means to be a deacon, what excites them, what animates them about their anticipated role. And both Brad and Enrique spent an entire year of their formation in a parish, learning hands-on what a parish in Milwaukee is like and what a priest experiences every day. And just be interesting to our listeners to get a brief insight into what that was like for the two of you. I know, Enrique, you spent the year in Beaver Dam. Can you just tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, I was in Beaver Dam. It was a parish who were going through the process of merging, so it was a great opportunity for me coming from a different country because we don't have this particular problem. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in a city like Madison, so coming to a little town and work with people that immediately they know you are not from the town, mm-hmm. and they see you as a different person and as a member of the church already. So it was a very exciting time for me and a great opportunity to learn many mm-hmm. things.
So you spent time with parish council, you were in the school, you went on sick calls, you gave reflections on the scriptures, all of that, right?
Yes, I did.
So
it's a
real immersion into the totality of parish life. Mm-hmm. And Brad, you were at St. Monica's St. Eugene's, right?
That is correct.
Tell us about that.
Well, it was really a fantastic learning experience for myself. I've been around in terms of parish life, but this was an opportunity for me for the first time to really be someone who was looking at the vision of what actually happens in a parish and with some degree of intentionality doing some of the things that are done or helping plan them or looking at sort of the bigger picture of what it is to create community in terms of parish life. And so I think that dynamic was really rewarding for me. So yes, I went along and was at parish council meetings, teaching in the school, or giving reflections at daily mass with the kids, or things like this. And those are really uplifting opportunities. Well, I mean, not always parish council, but you get the idea, because I think that's also part of the real life of a parish, isn't it? I mean, where there are different things that are – well, things that are happening that are not always angels and clouds. You know, sometimes there's some real practicalities that exist. You got to get in the dirt sometimes. Mm-hmm. And that's also very true in some of the experiences with visiting with the sick or going to a nursing home. Those are all examples of visiting with the sick I did or parish priests do where they're engaging in bringing Jesus and the community to the people who are many times hurting.
It's very telling to me that both of you participated in a parish structure that essentially was a new model. You know, Enrique, you touched on that it was the merger of multiple parishes in Beaver Dam that were coming together as one community. Mm-hmm. Brad, you were at St. Monica's St. Eugene's, which is being pastored by Father Jerry Herta as the pastor, Father Paul Fliss as the associate. So here's two parishes side by side with one pastoral team. So I think both of those are kind of emblems of the future as we see new models emerging of how we will minister to a growing Catholic population with a decreasing number of priests, that God willing, we will turn that around shortly. I think something obviously that I'm sure you found in your parish experience and is a universal thing today, just the challenge of drawing young people into the life of the parish. I think many young Catholics under the age of 40 don't necessarily find parish life as they know it compelling, exciting, engaging, something that they want to be a part of. And I think it's a sign of the times for us to rethink parish life, rethink parish structures. How can it be more welcoming, engaging, formative, and challenging? Do you have any thoughts on that? As you anticipate ordination in just, less than 2 years, you know, as a young priest, how do you see yourself really reaching out to the young? How do you think parish life needs to change if we hope to engage and captivate the hearts of our young people today? Any thoughts on that?
The thing that immediately comes to mind is most teenagers and perhaps even into young adulthood, they like to rebel against whatever is established, so their parents or some social institutions, whatever that may be. And unfortunately, sometimes I think the church also gets caught into that loop. I think in a way, the message that we can really tap into the kind of the thought process of young people is explaining just how radical the gospel message is. If you want to be radical, then become a Christian. I think if you want to be really radical and push things way outside of anybody's normal thought process and the way we do things every day, if you don't want to conform, you become a sincere Roman Catholic and practice your faith. I think being involved in parish life, that's where you can do something that's really different. But at the same time, you're not doing it alone. I mean, there's two sides to that coin. You're doing something that's radically challenging, radically different. You're doing something that is meaningful and has purpose not only here but has something to do for all of eternity. But you're also doing it in communion with other people. So I think the first thing that I would consider is just let people know how radical the message of the gospel truly is. And it is that message that should make us on fire for not only Jesus Christ, but also for his church.
So if we simply let the faith and the parish be what it is, that's compelling, that's engaging, that's exciting. I think you're absolutely right. Peter Morin, who co-founded the Catholic Worker Movement with Dorothy Day, said that the gospel of Christ is dynamite, that in some ways the church has sealed up over the course of time, that we need to unleash it. We need to simply let it explode and transform people's lives. So part of it is just unleashing the power of Christ through the preaching of the gospel, celebration of the sacraments, teaching of the faith.
I think you're absolutely right. I think we also do that by actually letting young people voice what it is they're interested in doing. I think sometimes we have to let the Spirit be. And, of course, we have to discern that. We have to pray about that. We have to see how that manifests itself and if it bears fruit. But we have to let something at least be tried to know if it's bearing fruit or not. I think by tapping into the many talents that young people have, that they are more than willing to share with their friends and their family, and then I think also with the church and their local parish community, if we just give them the chance to do so. And I know that seems a little, at this point, a little vague, but I think it's somewhat true. I mean, you know it when you see it, right? Mm-hmm. When you're allowing people mm-hmm. to live in the Spirit and express their faith in a way that is not just unique to them, but also brings the community together in some profound way.
What I find when I'm with young people, they want the fullness of the faith. They want some social way to be with other Catholics who believe what they believe, and they want some way to serve, some way of outreach to the poor or to the community. So, I mean, those three aspects, I think formation, social relationships, and service are really key, you know, if we're going to tap into young people. Enrique, what do you think? What will captivate young people in the 21st century to want to stay with the church and really live their Catholic faith?
I think so. They need the guidance from the priest, but at the same time, give them opportunities to serve. I think the young people are willing to serve and they need to do something in the parish. Sometimes we talk about the youth as the future of the church, and I agree with that, but not entirely. I think they are the present as well, and they have to do something, and they are willing to do something, and if we integrate those youth people within the all the ministries in the church, I think they will love the church more deeply.
And I would just encourage both of you to utilize your youth when you get ordained. Youth attracts youth. You're only young for a while, so let the newness, let the youth of your priesthood really just exude and be a magnet for the young people that you will serve. I think there's no one that doesn't find a newly ordained, zealous young priest attractive on some level. So just let that shine out when you get out there and get ordained, and just to light the world on fire with your zeal and your passion. As you anticipate entering into the priesthood then, what animates you the most about serving as a priest of Jesus Christ in the 21st century in the United States? I mean, what about that do you find the most compelling? Enrique, what draws you to that?
I always have found myself, my vocation call, in the service of the people. I think the people are thirsty for God, and they are really want a relationship with God. And I think as a priest, I can bring that to the people, how to relate to God and how to experience that love that God has for them. I think that being with the community and as individuals as well in a parish, through the guidance of the priest, I think that's the key for people to grow in their own willingness to serve the church and in our call to holiness.
So being with the people, doing what priests do, mm-hmm. just excites you. That's fantastic. Yeah. How about you, Brad?
Well, I think I would be remiss if I didn't agree with Enrique entirely. I think both of those things are something that I'm very much looking forward to. You can't be a priest without being in a parish. You can't necessarily be a good priest and really see that as something that motivates you, something that wants you to be better than what you currently are, and looking to those people in the parish community to help make you a better person as you together grow in holiness. I think if I had to pinpoint for me one thing that really excites me about being a priest in the 21st century is it's the 21st century. This is something that has been going on for a while, the church, and I'm a part of something that has been here for over 2,000 years. And I am a part of that, and that really propels me, but it propels me because not only is there history, but there's a newness. We are part of a new evangelization. We are a part of a present. We are part of living with Jesus now today. And what are we going to do to change the world we live in today? How are we going to get ourselves through the power of the Holy Spirit to heaven today? And I think being a facilitator for that experience is what I'm very much looking forward to in the 21st century.
I often think about the fact that what if we're here for another million years? I mean, in terms of a million years, the first 2,000 are just the beginning. So perhaps we're just at the very dawn of living the mystery of the church, and that's an exciting vision. We thank both of you, Enrique and Brad, for joining us today. Your vocation is a blessing to the church. We thank God for it, and we thank you for saying yes to it. Please know that the annual Catholic Men's Retreat is coming up on January 7th to the 9th at the seminary, hosted by the Vocations Directors of the State of Wisconsin. More info is available at www.thinkpriest.org. Our next show will air on Christmas Eve. We'll be talking about the Feast of the Holy Family and the role of the family in the formation of vocation. We'll have two of our other seminarians, Philip Shoemaker and Patrick Burns, joining us. God bless you. Have a wonderful Advent as we move towards the great feast of the Incarnation of Christ. God bless you.
This week in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee has been brought to you by the Senglob Financial Group.
To contact Father Hying, log on to relevantradiomilwaukee.com, keyword seminary. And be sure to join us next time for This Week in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, featuring New Heart, New Spirit, on Relevant Radio, 100.1 FM.